The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Southeastern desires to equip pastors, missionaries, theologians, scholars, and other believers to obey the commands of Jesus to make disciples anywhere and everywhere God calls them to go. Attend preview days at Southeastern Seminary to see firsthand how God is training up students to serve all over the world as pastors, ministry leaders, missionaries, teachers, and more. Preview days include opportunities to meet our world-class faculty members during an informal panel discussion as well as a faculty dinner. You will also have the opportunity to sit in on classes, tour the campus, and get answers to all your questions. Preview days cost $20 per person, and the next one will be September 29th, 2016. Visit sebts.edu/5LQ to learn more. Again, that's sebts.edu/5LQ. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the Five Leadership Questions. I'm your host, Todd Atkins.
What?
Well, when you're the host, you don't get to do what?
I think I can do what? And I'm here today with Daniel M.
What? In light of you, in honor of you, Todd.
Thank you. And also, Boss Daddy, Eric Geiger.
I am not doing one of those any weird noises? Sounds. Nope. Just what's happening?
All right. And we are here today to answer the age-old question, are leaders born or made? So,
well, everyone's born.
That's true. I guess made would have to be cloning. You cloned like Winston Churchill or something.
Yes.
Which I don't know how he would survive in this day and age. There's not like adventures to have. And
well, with all the tweets that people continually do about him, it's like he's living.
But he's given credit for things he didn't say as well, though.
Yeah, but if you look at the
Churchill
dudes,
once said,
it just sounds more credible that way.
Thomas Jefferson, just say something in a credit to someone else, and you know,
it's essentially what you do on your Twitter account.
No, I don't.
Sorry.
I do quotes in the evenings mostly.
Yeah.
During the day, it's leadership and business for the most part. But okay, so first question. In general, is leadership more a matter of nature? So that's, you know, inherent skills, personality, or nurture, learned abilities and habits?
I remember this study that was once done about these Swedish twins. They were both adopted from Sweden, one into a Christian family in the south and another one into another family, non-religious, secular family in Europe. And it was fascinating to see this longitudinal study where they just kind of tracked along with these two girls who were orphans who got adopted. And then when they're 20-something, they were actually both doing the same occupation.
So it was basically a study saying that it's really about nature, not nurture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because those are the two.
That would be the
opposite of what you were going to say.
No, well, I don't know. I mean, because there's a reason why you've heard this question before, and I think it's because you have people that come down on both sides. I would say that it's a combination of both, but it's really more about your potential. So everybody is born with a certain amount of potential to lead, and it's a question of whether you nurture that potential. So, you know, it's like spiritual gifts and talents and whatever. I mean, LeBron James was born with a certain amount of talent that we would never possess. But
how much I practice, I'm not going to be able to.
No. You're going to be better than me. But you're not going to be LeBron James.
I already am.
No, clearly.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's where it really is a both and, really, in this question, especially when it comes to leadership.
Well, here's what I would say. I wrote this down because I thought, you know, I had the luxury of having the question sent to me ahead of time. And it is a question that if you've ever led a group discussion on leadership, totally. You've asked it, hey, are leaders more born or made? If you've ever read like Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders, you know, are leaders born or made is one of the opening questions in one of the chapters in the book. So we've all thought of this, and here's where here's my current thinking on it. The type of leader you are, I would say, is more nature, and then the effectiveness of the type of leader you are is more nurture. So what I mean is that I do believe that at birth, God formed you in your mom's womb, and the type of person that you are, or the type of leader you are is is God knitting together this His crowning work of creation, humanity. Even though we're marred by sin, each person is gifted at birth. God's formed that person, and so I'm, as a dad with two little girls, I see how different they are, even apart from the nurture that they get. So they're getting very similar nurture, my two girls, but they're very, very distinct from each other.
Yeah, completely.
And that's nature. And so the type of leader you are is nature, whether you're a strategic leader or a relational leader or an administrative leader or a thought leader. That I think is nature. And then the effectiveness of your leadership is in large part the nurture. Have you been discipled and developed by someone who's skilled and gifted? Have trials of life formed you and made you more resilient? Have you putting yourself in a posture of being developed? The nurture that you undergo, I think, will impact.
This is really weird. So I'm processing prayers that I pray for my children every night. And so, you know, I'm praying leadership into my children every night, which
it's
is
the leadership quotes he tweets.
Sorry.
He just
slightly obsessive. If you haven't already picked up on that. But no, I mean, you know, I also pray for protection, and I pray for every one of my kids. God asks that you would, you know, just protect them from all sides, guard them vehemently, you know, in Jesus' name. And I go on and I do that cadence every night, because I want my kids to be protected. And while you were speaking, it struck me too about the experiences that people have and how
those experiences
can be nurtured.
Totally.
Because somebody can be naturally bent in one direction, but God allows something to happen in their life. It may be suffering. It may be stress. It may be Him bringing them through something, but that is the hardening of the steel.
Yeah.
Of that person. And so when I pray those prayers over my children, it's like, hey, God, I want you to make these awesome leaders, but I don't want you to, I don't want you to hurt them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want you to hurt them in the process.
And sometimes the trials will be what He uses to nurture us. So I've heard someone say before, it may have been Winston Churchill that said, I'm joking, it wasn't Churchill, that you'll be the same person except for the books that you read, the people you meet, and the places that you travel to.
Yep.
That's good.
And so those are experiences.
So
Churchill and the blogs you read on the internet. Those are experiences that nurture us.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you agree that nurturing has to happen differently based on someone's nature?
I'd say based on someone's nature, they process the nurture differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then a wise leader / teacher / parent does apply different levels of nurture, or different forms of nurture.
Yes.
Based on who the person is.
Yeah. Because it's both encouraging. Encouragement sometimes looks like a pat on the back, and sometimes it looks like a kick in the pants.
Yep.
And different people need different things at different times.
All right. Well, question number two is, which aspects of leadership can be learned and which are inherent traits?
So this, to me, this debate right here, I don't know if we realize how old it is. So a long, long time ago, this guy named Thomas Carlyle developed what was called the great man theory. So he was the person who believed leadership is all about nature. And so he didn't just make that up. He looked at great leaders throughout history and said they all have these qualities. He developed the great man theory. Then another theorist came after him named Herbert Spencer and debated Carlyle and said that's not true at all. These men are products of their environments, that it's not the nature that they received. It's the nurture that they received. So to me, the answer to that question depends on really which spectrum, part of the spectrum you fall on. If you believe it's all nature, then you're going to think all leadership traits are inherited. If you think it's all nurture, you're going to think all leadership traits can be nurtured.
Yeah, I appreciate that because, I mean, just think to Jim Collins' Good to Great and Great by Choice. I mean, he was looking at that question too. When it comes to, you know, great, lasting, enduring organizations, because when we look at magazines, when we look at the news, oftentimes those great organizations are the ones that hit the headlines are the ones that are led by those charismatic, big voice, big personality leaders, right? So it's I'm glad you brought in that history.
Well, and two, it's, I mean, leadership, if we were talking about another, if we were talking about just a straight up skill set, it would be different because it's like which aspects of conflict management can be are inherent or and which are learned. But leadership is just made up of a certain ineffable something that's somewhere between the people part and the getting stuff done part. And as you go, as you develop yourself and develop others and lead others and, you know, continue in your leadership path, the higher you go in leadership, the less I think it is about getting stuff done and more it's more about people. Because hopefully you're putting systems and processes and good people in place to take care of the rest of it. It's really, the people part of it. So
yeah,
again, I think it goes back to the differential between, you know, where you are and ultimately what your potential is and making sure that you are growing into who God has made you to be.
And there definitely are those ineffable qualities of leadership, but you know, let's just, I mean, I think we can all agree that great leaders have a high level of emotional intelligence, right?
Right.
I mean,
totally.
So even when you think of emotional intelligence, I think there are some people who thought or are on the opinion that it cannot be learned. I believe it can be learned.
Well, at least a framework put into place to help you manage yourself well.
Yeah. Yeah. Socially. Which is an aspect of emotional intelligence. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think emotional intelligence can be learned just like any type of intelligence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, even when it comes to, I mean, I've thought about
Some people don't think that you can develop your emotional intelligence or your...
A lot of people don't think you can develop to a large extent your emotional intelligence. They think that there's a limit on that. And I would say, I would agree with those people. I would say, once you get to a certain level of leadership,
if
you were a pastor at like a giga church, man, you only got so much that you can grow in that aspect, and then you're going to have to staff around it. So if you're a pastor who's given toward this, you know, other bent, you're going to have a number two or someone around you that is extremely emotional intelligent so they can come back around and help you.
What I hate is just the excuse that gives some people.
Hmm.
Like, oh, I don't have to develop in, and you, but you're saying to a point. But I have seen, and you've seen, people who are just really bad at relating to others. Oh, that's that's just how God made me. No. you need to be able to express love and compassion and care and concern for people.
So I can't remember who it was. I think it may have been Rob Jacobs. So I'm going to give him a shout out. But I was processing with somebody on the phone. We were talking about leadership development things, and it was ultimately, I think you would, if somebody had the fruits of the Spirit, if somebody had maturity and all the fruits of the Spirit, would that person not be considered emotionally intelligent by the very definition?
Of course. Like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness,
and self-control.
So that's what I mean. The Holy Spirit of God trumps the great man theory, trumps Herbert Spencer,
yes,
trumps any Jim Collins quote, as much as we like his quotes, trumps any Churchill quote, right? So the Spirit of God at work in the life of a believer is going to push someone to be able to relate to other people. That's all
I'm
saying.
We should just close in prayer. We don't need three,
I'm
four,
trying
five.
To give an altar call. I'm just
no, that's good.
I just want to be sure that we don't.
All right. So based on this, this is question three. On this, can anyone be a leader or some people simply incapable?
Well, this ties in this question and a little bit of the previous one. You know, when we think of the idea of inherent leadership, right? It's not like we are born and our environments don't influence who we are and the way that we lead. You know, we often lead the way that we've been led, and we teach the way that we've been taught. So when you think of what is inherent leadership, or, you know, are people simply incapable, or can someone be a better leader? I think of intuitive leadership when I think of that. So think about this. I mean, the number of people that can intuitively lead a small group of six people or of 12 people, There are a lot of people like that. I mean, you can tell them, hey, this is how you kind of frame a discussion, or here's your study materials, and go lead. And there obviously does need to be training around that, but
obviously on ministrygrid.com.
Yes.
Thank you.
But there doesn't need to be a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at inherently or intuitively leading a group of 50 people, the number of people who can do that without any formal training diminishes significantly. Yeah. Right. And then you go to 120 and then 5,000. And then you look at, you know, you were mentioning earlier the giga church pastors who, I mean, there's a lot of them that were, you know, if you think of Bill Hybels, he always talks about that tomato story, him going around selling tomatoes right, and how that so shaped and formed him. But I mean, it was his environment, you know, that influenced that as well. But also it was the nature. Right, there is that.
There's some drive to go sell tomatoes, right? So as much as that, as much as the experience formed Hybels, the embedded drive in him caused him to be willing to go door to door and sell tomatoes. So even in that illustration, you see both nature and nurture at work. So the question: Can anyone be a leader, or some people simply incapable? I think it depends on your definition of leadership. Sometimes when someone says, well, not anyone can be a leader, I think when they say that, they already in their minds have a predetermined view of what a leader looks like. But the reality is that God uses all different types of personalities and gifting to lead people.
Absolutely.
And so think about the great man theory, Thomas Carlyle. Back then, this alpha male, strong person who could direct, you know, top-down leadership was really valued in the culture at that time. That's not now seen as the only way to lead. And so you have other people. This was before people were starting .com companies, and you had people who were able to lead and effectively launch things that were the opposite of the qualities that Thomas Carlyle and the Great Man Theory applauded. So I think we have to be careful that we don't get this preset in our minds. Here's the intrinsic qualities that, did I say that word wrongly again? Here's the embedded qualities that have to be in each person because God uses different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. So, I mean, you know, I could go back and beat the same dead horse of it's about potential and blah, 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 but I'm going to play a different card. So can anyone be a leader or some simply incapable? Well, I think from a leadership perspective in the church, character is the number one thing that's required. That's the first requirement before ability. So I think that you know, is certainly placed above anything else. Can anyone be a leader? You know, honestly, it really goes back to how much ability they have. Everyone can lead themselves, hopefully well. Then you have them lead others. The question of whether or not they can lead a team or lead a team of teams, as Daniel said, really depends on, you know, their capacity. So I think that we want to be careful not to promote people beyond their own level of competence, the Peter principle. But as Eric, I think, has pointed out on the podcast before, it was the Saul principle, right?
Yeah.
Saul syndrome. Tell me about the Saul syndrome once more.
Lack of character. So you often hear the Peter principle, which refers to competence. Don't promote someone past their level of competence. But we sometimes don't think of Saul, who got in over his character. Got in over his head in terms of his character and his pride and his total frustration that David would receive credit or more credit than he received, turned him into essentially a madman who chases David all over ancient Israel trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And what a horrible leader that was.
Yeah. That leads us well into our fourth question, which is, how does the task of leadership development differ for those up-and-coming leaders who are naturals and those who are more learners?
That's a huge question. I think in great leadership development, is going to be tailored to the individual, right? So those who are more natural, they need to be given more responsibility more quickly.
Yeah.
They need to be to be given more opportunities to consume, to grow, to they need more assignments. They need more thrown at them, more opportunities to lead more quickly.
And also to be in environments where they can be coached and be debriefed and receive feedback, right? Because you have some people who are like, hey, I'm going to learn, I'm going to read, I'm going to, and as opportunities, as they prove to be faithful, more opportunities come their way and other people are more.
Well, they I'm glad you're saying that because the problem sometimes with those who are just naturally skilled is they are just given a whole lot of things to do.
Yeah.
And then it's really possible for their skills to outpace their sanctification.
Yes.
And then we see this happen. We see people peak really early and because their skills outpace their character, you really set them up for a downfall. So with the more able, with those who have more abilities, they really need to have the debriefing that Daniel was talking about.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I want to bring up, and if you don't like it, we'll cut it out,
oh,
and
gosh,
nobody will ever hear it.
This is gonna be a little scary.
It's always good when we say we might cut this out.
We might cut this out.
It builds tension.
No, it's that one of the things that I'm proud of, even though I'm not a part of it, is that we do a young leaders program at Lifeway.
Yeah,
and which Eric and Earl lead. Eric and Earl Roberson lead, and Daniel has been a part of that. And so you've got some people that may be, they're up and coming leaders, but who are natural, and those who are more learners. Okay. Well, the interesting thing I find is that in that class, you guys will read Talent is Overrated, for an example. Mm-hmm. So tell me about leading a group of young, sharp, aggressive leaders through Talent is Overrated and why you would do that.
Yeah, I think we can keep this part in, Todd. So we pulled together leaders that are identified by their peers and by supervisors over departments, and we don't spend a ton of time with the group. I don't want to give the impression that it's like this, you know,
super secret.
We don't go offsite and do trust falls and you know, and walk on the beach together and sit around on a bonfire. It's really like 1 hour a month, we get together and read a book. And so it's a lot of reading. They read 12 books over 12 months, and we discuss the book an hour each month. And one of the books is a book called Talent is Overrated. And obviously the people in that group are super talented. I mean, they've been recognized as being very gifted in terms of leading others or in terms of whatever discipline that they're in, because we're pulling people from all kinds of disciplines, from finance to marketing to customer service, to events, to publishing, to just overall leadership. And so we pull that group together, and the book Talent is Overrated essentially says that those who make the biggest difference are those who undergo deliberate practice. They develop themselves. And for there to be deliberate practice, it has to be repeated over and over again. There has to be immediate feedback. And it doesn't always feel fun. It's hard. And so we challenge that group to not only rely on the skill that has got them to be at the table that they're at, but to subject themselves to deliberate practice that would cause them to grow and mature and develop.
So I know we've talked about it on more than one occasion on the podcast already, but you know, that whole idea of, hey, you may be talented, you may be a rock star, but ultimately you will limit your growth. You will limit your potential impact for the kingdom if you do not put yourself in those scenarios where you're getting pushed and being pushed and getting good feedback. And so many leaders, especially young leaders who reach success, a certain level of success early, don't always have the foresight to put themselves into that position.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, what you said, Eric, about deliberate practice, I mean, is important for us to just stop on just for a little bit, because for those who are naturals and those who are learners, it's possible to hear a book and read it, but it's possible to not remember any of it and just kind of read it and practice leadership, practice learning, but not do it deliberately.
Right.
I recently hit a round of 18, and One thing that I noticed about professional golfers is right after they finish their 18, they don't go.
Oh, it's golf you're talking about.
Yeah, golf. Okay. They don't go straight to get a hot dog. They don't go straight, you know, home. They actually go straight to the driving range because they've made notes on what shots they didn't do well, and they deliberately practiced it. So after my round of 18, I went straight to the driving range, and I hit about 100 wedge shots just to practice my chipping. And everything that was going through my head was deliberate practice.
Do you need some more work assigned to you?
Oh. Hey, this is a good transition to the next question.
I'm just going to go hit some extra golf balls. No, I'm joking.
All right. Do you want to ask it?
Yeah. Well, the last question is, what are the unique strengths and weaknesses of natural leaders and of learned leaders?
I think natural leaders, that there's a huge deficit, weakness to a natural leader. If they're not developed, natural leaders will act entitled. Hmm.
They're blind and they assume too much.
And then they also will lose drive to continue. And so they'll lose drive to develop themselves. They'll lose drive because they feel so already there. But the worst part of worse than losing drive is when they act entitled, because they had some early wins, and then they literally try to live off of those. And real quickly, I agree with you, they're blind to their own weaknesses. And so they start to turn off a lot of people.
Well, and the part of the assumption part, is they assume that you either have it or you don't. And so, therefore, they not only don't develop themselves, they don't develop the people around them, which is their number one job as a Christian leader.
And that's when you hear leaders say, hey, what's going to happen when you leave your church, or if something happens to you, or when you leave your business? And they literally say, no one's going to be able to take my place. They're going to have to go in a completely different direction because no one can replace me. I mean, we've heard people say that.
Yeah.
We've actually heard people articulate that.
And they're proud of it.
And actually, the fact that someone says that, I have always winced, like, wow, you don't realize that you're just publicly saying that you're a poor leader. Yeah. You think you're saying you're a great leader, but you're actually right now admitting that you're a horrible, horrible leader and a really bad person. A really bad person and a horrible leader, because leadership is about developing others, not being in your spot on top of the hill declaring how great you are and asking other people to recognize your greatness.
Now we can close it.
Dang.
Well, I believe our greatest strengths.
Sorry, y'all. Sorry.
I believe our greatest strengths open up doors for our greatest weaknesses. So as a Canadian, you know, living in America for almost 2 years now.
That's a real strength.
Yeah. One thing I noticed, okay, American military, right? I'm learning all the... I saw what I saw on movies and, you know, media, but now I live in the States and I respect the way that Americans value veterans and the military and all that. But when you look at the American military, what's their greatest strength? Right? It's technology, right? I mean, it's crazy the amount of technology that they have, and how they can, so much of their fleet now are drones. And it's just, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. But I find that the greatest weakness is actually your opportunity to open into your greatest
strength
and weakness.
Wow. So we have a Canadian and an American debating
the greatest
U.S. military.
Strength is that anybody on that team can lead, because the systems and processes have been put into place, because they know the direction where they're going. They know the objective.
Has anyone in this podcast circle ever served in one of our military?
All right,
maybe we shouldn't speak about it.
No, that is the strength of our military, though.
And listen, I am super, super grateful for our military. I would have said, if someone asked me the greatest strength of our military is how trained our military personnel is. But
back to my illustration.
Seriously, it's because the objective, because the mission is so important, because we're all going for the same end goal, and anyone can pick up the baton and finish the
job.
Okay,
I agree with all you guys. My point in saying that.
Speaking of the Canadian military.
No. Let's not go there. Please, let's not go. That's why I appreciate the American military. Okay, but my point was that for natural, quote unquote, leaders, I find that they often see their greatest strength as being their drive, their ability to kind of get to where they've been, and they attribute a lot of that success to themselves. But that really is also their greatest weakness, because then it turns around and becomes a character issue, right? It's like, oh, wait, I can't do this thing. Well, maybe it's not for me. Or maybe it's because of other people, and they start playing the blame game as a result. Mm.
Good deal. I don't know what else to say.
That's great. I thought it's good.
We had a good hearty discussion.
Closed in prayer.
We had a good hearty discussion on the military.
We did. All right.
I'd say this to wrap up. Not that you're asking me to wrap up.
Wrap it up. Take us home.
If you're listening, every one of us, we have natural abilities that God's given. The mistake is to look at someone else's natural abilities and assume that if I don't have that person's natural abilities, I can't influence or can't be a leader. And that's not true. God, in his providence and wisdom, has given you the abilities that you have. What really makes the impact on your effectiveness is now going to be the nurturing of those abilities. And so that's what deliberate practice mm-hmm. is about. That's what developing yourself is about. Putting yourself in an environment, in a place where you're nurtured to then be able to be the best fill in the blank that you can be.
Good work.
And all for the glory of God.
Amen. Well, thank you for listening once again. If you would, please go into iTunes, leave us a rating and review. If you're Canadian, we're sorry that we mess with Daniel all the time about it. If you'd like, you can put that in the review, but still give us a 5-star rating. Thank you.
Don't forget to check out Southeastern Seminary's numerous education and training opportunities to help you grow in ministry. Visit sebts.edu/5LQ to learn more. That's sebts.edu/5LQ.